The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, and honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus looked at him with love. He said to him, "You are lacking one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." At this statement, his face fell. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, and so Jesus said to them again in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than it is for one with riches to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible with God." The Gospel of the Lord. So, what do you see in these readings? Pretty important material. We had a great occasion in our diocese this week. We had our convocation. Biannually, we have a convocation, and this one was particularly special and valuable because we had Sherry Waddell as the speaker. It's the first time that it happened since I've been in the diocese that we've had a convocation with the priest from the Diocese of Jackson and the priest from the Diocese of Biloxi. We had 40 of them from Biloxi, and we had a little more from the Diocese of Jackson. The first time it happened because when they heard we were having Sherry Waddell, they asked, could we possibly come as well? And their bishop asked our bishop, and some of the guys were asking if they could come because it was a coup to get Sherry Waddell. Sherry is an interesting person, has written the book, Forming Intentional Disciples, which I've quoted from a number of times. That is one of the books, and then she has a follow-up, Forming a Parish of Intentional Disciples, and now she has the later one out in terms of application, knowing and practicing, integrating that reality. It was really good to have her for the 4 days. We went to Meridian on Monday afternoon and started out from there and finished up on Thursday. Sherry's invitation is to look at what it means to be intentional as a disciple. What difference would that make in our community if we were intentional disciples? We have a lot of disciples, right? Hello, the rest of you. We have a lot of disciples? Amen. Because we've been baptized into this and we've been confirmed in our faith, and so we claim a discipleship. But her perspective is being an intentional disciple is extremely important and valuable. What does it mean? What is the criteria for being an essential or an intentional disciple? And she has stages of growth for individuals. First stage would be trust. What kind of trust do we have in each other? Curiosity. And then an openness, and then moving ultimately to conversion. It's a very practical approach. And looking at it carefully, and it was a great experience. While much of the material is in the book that she covered during the course of the week, it was really nice and refreshing to have her there, to see her in person, because she's a very interesting individual. She grew up in Mississippi, and that was one of the reasons that we were very fortunate to get her. She grew up just outside of Waveland, Mississippi. She grew up as an evangelical Protestant. And the belief that she was given from her religious tradition was that most all Catholics are going to hell. Really. And she acknowledged that. That's a part of what is out there in different traditions. It's really, you know, just a lack of understanding, just like we have a lack of understanding about the faith and the religious experience of so many other people. And we support that. We have. When I was growing up, it was just about being Catholic. Surely there's a much broader perspective than that. My God, we're doomed to death if that is the expansiveness of our experience. We have a lot to learn from our brothers and sisters, and a lot to learn about them, besides just being judgmental. But interestingly, she moved in her younger years to Seattle, Washington, and one day she was walking through the great cathedral in Seattle. It's a beautiful place. And she heard the message, "You are to be Catholic." She trusted and believed it, and so she went through an RCIA, which was quite a bit up and down. But she is now one of the foremost teachers in the Catholic Church in regard to the new evangelization. How do we really grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ? Travels all over the world, Australia, Japan, England, Ireland, US, constantly on the move in regard to that. Has a great understanding that is born out of that sense of being an intentional disciple. The gospel today is about discipleship. So we look at my man. How is he? Is he a disciple? It's not a trick, okay? So try me. Go ahead. Is he a disciple? Yes, he is. Is he an intentional disciple? You're stuck. Okay. Let me help you out. Probably not. Because the intentionality comes from the issue of relationship with Jesus Christ. And here he is, obviously has a great regard for him. They enter into engage in dialogue and sharing. And then Jesus invites him to drop his nets. Go further out. Don't just live on the perimeter. This man is very interesting. This man could be you or me. As we look at him, we've got to ask the question, why did he come to Jesus in the first place? And we don't get that information in the gospel passage. There's no information as to why he approached. But what are some of the possibilities in his approaching Jesus? He comes up, kneels down before him. "Good master, why do you call me good?" Jesus said. There's a little clue in that. He saw Jesus as being a really good person and possibly saw a little reflection of himself in the person of Jesus, the manner in which he took care of himself, the manner in which he preached and proclaimed the kingdom. That's what Jesus does. He serves as a mirror so that we might see ourselves. And so Jesus engages in the dialogue. He said, What about the commandments? Let's start there. A good old tradition, right? We've all learned them. You know them by heart? And the rest of you? Yes. We learned them by heart when we were growing up in school because that was really important to know them and then know them as one piece and then put them into action, the additional piece. This man was very interesting because he said, Lord, I have been observing all of these all of my life. That's pretty stout. Many's the mother would be proud of him, right? Come on, help me out. Yeah, many's the mother would be proud of him, and she'd have a good reason. But Jesus broadens mother and father and that individual's perspective. It's very dramatic. He really broadens the perspective. Many a mother would be delighted with that son, saying, there's my boy. He never did any wrong to anybody. He never cheated or defrauded. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't take anything that wasn't his. He honored his father and mother. Hey, that's our boy. And Jesus said, that's great, but that's just a part of the way. That would be a basic experience of discipleship, very basic. Good? Yeah. Great? No. Attaining potential? No. Very much under that radar. And what happens? It's very powerful. Jesus looked at him with love. That's a powerful statement. What is it like to be looked at with love? What's it like to be looked at with love? Who looks at you with love? Your daddy. Yeah? And maybe Jeff even? Okay. But absolutely true. Thank you, Karen. Yes, for many of us, it's my daddy or my mommy. And my spouse sometimes. And you have a good idea of whether they're looking at you with love or any other apathy or anything else, right? But how valuable it is to be looked at with love. Man, this is a penetrating experience. You know when somebody is looking at you with love. What's the feeling? What does it do? It's pretty inspiring and engaging, isn't it? Hello? Yes, it really is. It's pretty neat to be looked at with love and to be valued and appreciated with all my faults and failings and everything else. It's pretty neat to be looked at with love. And Jesus was very engaged with this chap. Invites him into a little dialogue about the Old Testament experience, commandments, and how are you really doing in your life? Why was he there asking Jesus that? Was it self-serving? That he was doing pretty good and, hey, I want to let you know how good I'm doing. Or was it that he was really desiring something more in life? It's a great possibility he was really looking for something. You know, when you've got a lot of stuff, a lot of riches and possessions and that kind of thing, you have a lot of blessings that come with that. But you can also have a downside to it. Perhaps he was experiencing, well, I got all of this, but there's something missing in my life. Hopefully everybody experiences a sense of that. There's something more. And maybe that was what actually drew him to ask the question. He knew he was doing a lot of things good. But there's more to life than that. Jesus looked at him with love. What's it like to be looked at with love? It's really something. And then the penetration of that, being looked at with love. When somebody looks at you with love, what do? Do you take it in or do you kind of turn away? The tendency to turn away, I think. I think we all do, you know, because... Yeah, tell me all of that nice stuff, you know, but it's embarrassing too because I know better. There's an inconsistency in me in regard to that. Jesus looked at him with love and he said, one more thing. If you really want to be an intentional disciple, let me tell you what's getting in the way. You need to let go of your attachment to, not to become destitute or anything like that, but you're overly committed or attached to your things, your possessions. It's a very important point. So here is my challenge. You want a challenge? And the rest of you. Okay, let me give it to you this way. This week, I would like for you to spend an hour. Maybe it doesn't even have to be all at one time. It could be 15 minutes and 15 and 15. Right? Can you do that? Great. Allow yourself to be looked at with love by Him. And hear the question. What do I need to let go of? Would it be anger, jealousy, hatred, spite, unforgiveness? I'm unwilling to forgive that person, but I want your forgiveness at the same time. I want to lap up your forgiveness, but I am unwilling to come forth. Or would it be apathy? But I'm not engaged in love. I'm just kind of letting it go. I'm apathetic. Or think about this one. The silent killer. One of the most destructive issues in life. It's called gossip. Half-truths. Information about others. Whether it's true or false, it's totally immaterial. It's an amazing thing in the world. People say, well, it's true. That's not the question. The question is, am I tarnishing the good character, good name of somebody else? Doesn't matter about the truth. Going deeply into myself, that's one of the most consistently raised issues for people. People raise that more than anything else. In my 42 years as a priest, people mention it more and more in terms of reconciliation. I need to be forgiven for that. God knows, do you really know how important that is? It takes lives, destroys lives, probably more than any other single thing. It's a real silent killer. Because the core of it is this. Friendship. And it's a question about what kind of friend am I? What kind of friend would I like to have? Let me tell you the kind of friend I'd like to have. Somebody who is reliable, who's going to speak the same to my face as when I am absent. That's the kind of friend. There really isn't any other. It's very peripheral and superficial. Beyond that. But the kind of friend I am looking for, the kind of friend I would hope to be, would be somebody that could be counted on whether I'm standing there or whether I'm way over there. Wouldn't that be nice? Thank you. Sure would be. Is that not what we are seeking? And ultimately, behind that, that is exactly what we are finding. One who feels the very same about me, whether I am present or absent. Allow yourself to be looked at with love and see what is the one thing that gets in the way.